The anxiety you all must have. I'm guessing like blood pressure must be through the roof all the time. But you're like, not me. I'm basically dead.
I know. So. I'm so mellow about all of it. Externally. I mean, my insides internally might be something else, but externally, I'm supposed to maintain a sense of calm.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Costume podcast. I am your host, Spencer Williams, and thank you so much for joining me for another bonus episode. Hey, costume nerds. Good morning. How's it going? I'm so excited to be here with all of you to talk about Saturday Night Live, one of my favorite shows. I watch it all the time, every weekend, and I have been for as long as I can remember. I love the show and I love talking about, especially when we're able to have on a very special guest, costume designer Tom Broker, who I just absolutely adore. I think he's one of the best in the industry, very kind, hilarious, and just perfect for the show. And just honestly, just one of my favorite human beings in general. So very excited for you all to hear this conversation in a minute here. But first, let's get into the episode we're talking about specifically. We're talking about season 48, episode 10. And just for a little summary, I wrote here, live from New York, it's Saturday night. Aubrey Plaza hosts the Emmy-winning late-night comedy show Saturday Night Live with musical guest Sam Smith. In this episode, head on over to the Black Lotus Hotel, meet a lion congressman / drag queen, see a Miss Universe pageant, travel to the Navi world of Pandora, and prepare for a special visit from Sharon Stone. So, as you can see, we are packing it in this episode. Diving behind the costumes, Saturday Night Live was created by Lorne Michaels, and we have costume designer Tom Broker. Some of Tom's notable work, I mean, we could go on and on, but you will recognize some of his costume design work in film and TV on 30 Rock, House of Cards, Bros, and right now in theaters, if you go see the Mean Girls film, those costumes were also designed by Tom Broker. So Tom is killing it amongst a ton of other things he's doing in the live theater realm. So you gotta go check out all of his work. I'm very excited for you all to hear this conversation. Like I said, Tom's one of my favorites. He's just hilarious. And in this interview, we really are going to dive into all the specifics of this specific episode, as Tom was just nominated for a Costume Designers Guild Award for season 48, episode 10. So we are going to be talking about Avatar and George Santos and the Miss Universe pageant. It's really a great episode. So after this break, get ready for Tom Broker.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, friends, I am so excited to welcome back to the podcast my friend, Saturday Night Live costume designer, Tom Broker. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. It's really morning for you. It's sort of mid-morning for me. But
yeah, but you're a busy guy, so that's the best way I could catch you before you start working.
Exactly, yeah. I know. I literally was like, oh my God, wait, what time? How can we make this happen?
Yeah, so. I sacrificed. But I'm so excited to talk to you because I was doing the math this morning, which was also difficult. It appears you've been nominated 10 times for this Costume Designer Guild Award and Excellence of Variety, Reality Competition, or Live Television, which you've won two of them. So that's a pretty,
that's pretty good
record there. Uh-huh. Yeah. How does it feel to be nominated for 10 times?
Exactly. Well, one was for House of Cards. So, and then one was for Saturday Night Live. So, it's always an incredible honor. And I feel like this is more to me, I don't want to say this is more important than other awards or this means more than other awards, but I find this award means a lot because it comes from costume designers.
Yeah.
And it's all about costume designers talking about other costume designer. And so costume designers know costume design. So yeah. it's comes from us, it has a specialness, I think, to it, as opposed to, look, don't get me wrong, those other awards and all that sort of stuff are amazing.
Yeah, got a few Emmys too.
but there's something about this being from the people who know what you do is really special.
Right. Being honored by, you know, the best of the best in this industry.
Exactly. Your peers always, and mm-hmm. the peers sort of can understand and sort of know what you do and how you do it. So I think that's why it's sort of, I think, always is really special.
Yeah. Well, we are going all the way back for this episode to season 48, which feels like a lifetime ago.
It really does. It's like you were saying, you were doing the math. I was doing the math earlier too in the elevator, and I was just like, oh my God, I think it's literally 13 months ago or at least 12 months ago.
Right. So this is kind of a silly question, but what sort of challenges that season 48 present for you? I think there's a big one that's kind of obvious.
Well, right. I think ultimately the big fear for 48 was that the looming writer strike was going to happen. So we sort of were never sure if we were going to get the tail end of our season in. And I think people started becoming very, very anxious toward the end about what was going to happen and if we could do it and all that sort of stuff. So I think that in terms of that, that was sort of the big one. You know, we had some new cast members, so that's always for that season. And so that's always, I don't want to say it's a challenge, but it's also trying to get, you know, this place is a, you know, runs on a very specific kind of rhythm, and you have to jump in pretty fast if you're a performer and figure out the ropes and how, and it's a lot of it's trial by fire. So just sort of like, okay, good luck. Hope you know how to read cue cards and know where to, you know, get the cues. But, you know, like all things, they eventually learned. And then by the time they learned, the season was over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a quick season, but it was a good season. It packed lots of punches.
Yeah.
This episode was hosted by Aubrey Plaza, and there were some really, really great skits in this one. But first, this was also the introduction of the George Santos character, which feels like so hilarious now because we've gone through this entire arc as a country at this point. Do you remember working with Bowen Yang on that initial costume?
I do. And you know, I mean, George Santos has a very specific look, so it wasn't too hard to kind of push into what that look was. And I think this was also the episode where we was, I think, and I should know this, where he wore the red sequin dress as the drag queen.
Yeah, he did.
So we did a cutaway, you know, we did the cutaway to him in that, you know, in the beautiful beaded, red beaded dress, and then come back to him. And it was, you know, Bowen is just such a great person to work with, and he's so, intuitive and understands, you know, what it's a great collaboration. And so, you know, it's part of that character were the glasses. So that was a big thing. And then, you know, the sweater with the jacket and the thing, and the, you know, I mean, the layers of ridiculousness that George Santos puts on. So that was, like, you know, really great. And, you know, then to come full circle, I think a couple of weeks ago we did, his big goodbye, which was sort of wonderful and amazing. And it was so funny with that one anyway, like everyone was like, he's wearing a cape. And I was like, George Sanchez, I guarantee you, is crazy, and he has a crazy dress, and he dresses, you know, theatrically, but he would not wear a cape. But in our version, he did wear a cape. So we cut the whole
past him, honestly.
Exactly. He was in an overcoat, which he wore to the press conference, and then we cut the whole back out and put a cape in the back of it.
That's so funny. And I love how Boanyang just feels like he'll do anything. We just had Valerie Klarich on the podcast the other day, and she said same thing about Dexter Musical. He's just willing to go there with anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's just like, if he trusts, and he you know, which we've never given him any reason not to. So but you know, he's willing to sort of do anything.
I love that. Getting into the Aubrey Plaza skits, one of the first ones was the Miss Universe pageant, if you remember that one.
I do.
Lots of fun, lots of pageant gowns. Are you
exactly just... exactly that's sort of why I chose this episode in particular. I mean, we'll go through and dissect all the others, but it was sort of that thing where I looked at this episode, and you know, the category has variety in the title. So this episode in particular was all the sketches had a very specific.
Oh, we're giving them variety.
Exactly. So it's like, this is very variety oriented. So yeah, it's always fun doing pageants, right? Because you can, you know, you have to, depending on, this one was a world pageant. So we had to push into some sort of gown, which on some level was reflective of the country that they were representing. We also were looking at, you know, is I'll say inspired by the real pageant, which was going on and had happened. And so it sort of can have a little based on true events aspect to it. And so we sort of pushed into sort of colors and that sort of stuff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, it's been a while now, but I felt like it just happened like days before, it seemed like. It was pretty exactly. quick turnaround.
Wow. That is one of the great things about working on the Saturday Night Live is that we do have the ability to change things right before it goes on air. Yeah. And even while the show is going on, we have the ability to change something as it's going on. So, you know, it is... and can be very of the minute.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, something happens during the show or we see something and need to pivot somewhere else. We have the ability to do that. We don't have to shoot it and then wait 3 months for it to be edited and then color corrected and then put on.
The anxiety you all must have. I'm guessing like blood pressure must be through the roof all the time. But. You're like, not me. I'm basically dead.
I know. So. I'm so mellow about all of it. At least externally. I mean, my insides internally might be something else, but externally, I'm supposed to maintain a sense of calm. But it is, and I don't want to equate what we do to surgery or any kind of that. But if you notice, like, if you ever go to the emergency room, like, the doctors are pretty mellow because. Yeah. The people around them are crazy and all of the anxiety and all of the chaos is around the medical staff. So the medical staff has to maintain a degree of complete calmness. And so
and the
that's
doctor
a
gets
little...
to go home later. So
exactly. That is true. That is true. So, you know, there's a sense of calmness you had to bring to the situation.
Yeah. Got it.
Because the actors are freaking out, so you don't want to freak out on top of the actors.
Right. Which leads me to another stressful environment, which was, of course, the Black Lotus Hotel, which was recreation of what we love, the White Lotus. This was a fun one. Lots of fun, colorful costumes, which is what we love the White Lotus for. So take us back to creating the Black Lotus, which is one of my favorite skits in a while.
Yeah. I thought they did a really, that the writers on that did a really great sort of revisit and, you know, shifting the perspective a little bit to make it Black oriented as opposed to White oriented. And we work with on our team. Part of my team is, so we have a live show team and the film unit team. And so it's a great collaboration between all of us because they have, the film unit has basically 24 hours to get their outfits together. On the live show, we have between 36 and 40 hours. So we have a few more hours to get things.
I want to be on your team.
Exactly. Sometimes that extra 12 hours is much needed. But you know, they crank this stuff out so beautifully. And you know, White Lotus was so beautifully designed. So it was kind of easy parody.
Shout out to Alex Bovaird.
Yeah. Those clothes are so brilliant. And the ability to sort of recognize instantly what we were parodying, I think really shouts out to that show and to those designs. Yeah. You know, to be able to look at
Coolidge one, like instantly took you there. You knew exactly what we were watching as soon as you saw it on Chloe. Exactly. Oh man.
Yeah, it was and so it's always fun to do a show like that where you see and you can just sort of kick it up a notch. You know, you see a show that's so beautifully designed like that, and you're sort of like, okay, well, this is also Black Lotus. So we can we're going to put another spin on top of that. And have it be a little more, you know, Afrocentric.
Right. It's so good. I was laughing so much last night.
Well, and the host is so brilliant in that, like half the people didn't even recognize her in her outfit. Right. It's just amazing. So,
it's very transformative.
Yes.
Speaking of, I think the most variety had to have come down to the Avatar skit, which I'm a big Avatar nerd, so I was dying. So... I was really dying.
Because I'm not.
And it was so funny when the whole time I was like, Aubrey was just out there. How did she get into all this blue paint? And then at the very end, the lights kicked on, and I was like, whoa. Right. Tom, you have to tell us about that skit.
So that was an incredible feat. And that's the thing I think, not that I'm most proud of, but the idea of how that whole thing came together, because I was like, okay, well, how are we going to paint these people and get them painted to have that sort of, you know, and as you know, because you love Avatar, the you know, they're CGI'd. And so there's a beautiful, they have no like human,
they're very seamless and like
correct
flawless.
exactly yeah. And so it trying to translate that in 30 seconds for them to be able to get paint on and off, and then you know they to get the paint on was one thing, and then you would have to get the paint off. So we had to figure out first and foremost how that was going to happen. The other thing which happened and how this sketch came to be, not from a writing standpoint but from a technical standpoint, was something happened 6 months before that on the Today Show, on the Tonight Show. Like someone accidentally had flipped a switch in the control room, and all of a sudden, and they had no idea what they did. Because when we went to talk to them about it, they had no idea what had happened. All of a sudden, a switch was flipped, and the people on the screen had turned blue. So their skin had turned blue. And so we tried to duplicate that technology on this particular sketch. And it meant that anything that was, so we had to reverse engineer everything. So all the skin had to be flesh tone, but then when it was fed through the machine. The video guys could manipulate everything and then make their faces blue. So we sat with the color wheel. My assistant actually had literally, her job that entire week was just walk around with the color wheel and make sure everything that we were doing was reverse engineered. So if, for instance, the feathers on that were in the hair had to read red, we had to paint them green because everything had crazy. To be the opposite. So it was a crazy mind bending kind of, yeah. And that happened with the production design as well. So, you know, we had a specific avatar scene we were recreating. And so like all of the costumes had to look, and all the feathers and all the beads had to be all the information about Avatar and the costumes and all that sort of stuff had just come out like the week before or something.
Yeah.
So literally we were studying all those pictures and sort of looking at, okay, so this loincloth has these feathers and these beads. There's like 15 colors in that. So you literally had to go through and read.
What a nightmare for Ashley.
Yes, it was. It literally was a nightmare. A nightmare. But
please make no more Avatar movies.
Exactly. But the reality is, like, once you sort of started getting into the mindset of it and really do it, and then ultimately when you saw how it actually worked out, and you're looking at the sketch going, wow, this is actually working. And this is amazing the way the video people really kind of manipulated everything. And then, I'm so glad that when the sketch ended and they could pull back, and you could actually really see for the first time.
Yeah. That was so
what
cool.
What had happened. It was sort of mind bending.
Yeah. My mind was blown when the lights kicked on because she was just April Ludgate on Weekend Update like seconds before. So
I was like, maybe it's not live.
My world was kind of set upside down.
Well, and that's why, you know, and that's another reason I chose this episode, because it is true. Like, that is one thing, you know, it's live. So it had to be, and we had to organize the show in such a way that she would still have time to change and get into the wigs and all of that sort of stuff. But there was no way you could spend 3.5 hours to paint that person.
Right. Yeah.
That's
every
not
skit me. Would have to be Avatar.
Correct. You know, I mean, the most like sort of time a host has ever given to change clothes is like 2.5 minutes.
Jeez.
So to paint, and that's to get in and to get out, so they can get into somebody and then they have, you know, 2 minutes to get out of something.
This whole skit's kind of exciting because, I mean, you've been doing this for a few years now, and it's exciting that you get to like kind of learn and try new technologies.
Exactly. This was a huge learning curve and a huge thing to figure out how that technology works and to work really closely with the video guys to figure out and how to punch in and what those lights were going to do in terms of like colorizing and changing all that sort of stuff. I say that, you know, I've been here a long time now, and you think that you've learned everything, and every show something happens where we're learning something new. And this was a big, big learning curve.
Write this one down in the diary.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, for the final skit I want to talk to you about, also had a lot to do with color. It was, of course, a black and white film noir skit with Aubrey and Sharon Stone was in
Correct.
This one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, wow, they both looked amazing.
And Sharon had come on to do the you know, to play the goddess in the Sam Smith song. And so, I mean, come on, you have Sharon Stone come on a show, you want her in a sketch, and you want you want her doing something. So that was a really great thing. You know, it's like, I had never met her before, so it was just like, oh my god, this is and you know, she's amazing to work with, and she knows, you know, she knows how to make things work, and she knows what to make. And so we had about 5 dresses to look at, and, you know, try and fit, and, you know, and she knows how to pose and do everything. So, she's a true professional. And also just to get that variety, like to go from Avatar to that was, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and she wasn't blue in this one. So
she was not blue. Neither, no one was blue. But that's another mission one of those things, exactly. And but that's also another one of those things. You know, I know that I'm, you know, black and white isn't always black and white. You have to sometimes, you know, when you're watching it, you know, sometimes it's a red dress as opposed to when you know a black dress on camera, because red will read differently. Or sometimes, you know, how it's another one of those where you have to work with the video, you know, the technology to make sure you're getting the colors right, you know, and the textures right. So it does read black and white, but and film noir, but it may not necessarily, you know, it's translating to the camera, not to the people in the audience.
Well, this is really such a great packaged episode. There's lots of great ones. I'm so glad we got to talk about it. It's hilarious, and I think everyone should go back and rewatch it. I feel like I was the last one to see it, so everyone's like, Spencer, we've seen this episode. Go back and rewatch it. Now go see.
I had to do it too. I had to go back and rewatch it too, because I was just like, oh right, I forgot how good this episode is. Like sort of the totality of it, the comedy of it, the design of it, like just everything about it. And the performances are so good.
It's one of those episodes for sure. Tom, what else do you got going on? I feel like you're doing lots of other projects. What does the world need to do to go see some of your costumes?
What does the world need to do? So, well,
like heading to the movies right now,
they could head to the movies and see Mean Girls, the movie musical.
Yeah.
They could head to Off Broadway and see, Off Broadway production of Little Shop of Horrors that, Evan Rachel Wood is going into their, you know, her first performance is tonight. You know, I'm off after this discussion. I have to go to the costume shop at the Metropolitan Opera
to
talk about some costumes that I'm doing an opera there in September. Well,
you are the definition of booked and busy, so.
I like to keep busy.
Are you going to Little Shop tonight to see Rachel?
I'm going to stop by to make sure. I literally, a coat arrived at my house yesterday that she needs to wear tonight. so
nice.
I have to drop it off. So yeah.
Well, costume designer Tom Broker, thank you so much for joining the podcast again. It's always a joy spending time with you.
Okay. Have a good one.
The Art of Costume podcast is hosted and produced by Elizabeth Joy Glass and Spencer Williams. Our audio engineering and editing is done by Dan White. Follow us on TikTok at The Art of Costume and Instagram at The Art of Costume Pod. If you want to support the show, go to theartofcostume.com/podstore. For more podcast updates, costume reviews, deep dives, and interviews, go to theartofcostume.com, a blog dedicated to highlighting the best in costume design.